All right, and welcome to the first episode of Explain It Slowly. I'm FPS Diesel, and today I got a good friend with me. He's very talented, and I love his style. And right before we started recording, I gave him kind of like a backhanded insult, but genuinely I do enjoy what he makes and enjoy the aesthetic he has. Anyway, Kappa, welcome to the show. It's a great honor to have you as my first guest.
Hello, it's a great honor to be your first guest. I didn't even know what the show was called until you said it.
Oh yeah, I didn't even tell you the name. Yeah, it was a lot of deliberating. You know, I had a couple of other names in mind, and I guess these are where do, I think I have them all saved too. Some of them were really bad.
Fuck, I don't know, what do you think of the name? Podcast.
what do you think of the name? All things considered, now that you're hearing it.
Yeah, I mean, air, so honestly, you know. It's kind of like Whiplash, but yeah, I think I like it. I need okay, time to good. Deliberate with the jury.
Well, okay, so, you know, I brought you on and specifically because of, like, what you put in your videos, right? Like, I was telling you that earlier. Just, like, the creativity that you, like, bring, and you know how to explain, like... You know how to explain things that are, like, very big concepts, very simply.
Big brain and concepts.
Really big brain
ideas. Big brain
ideas.
Concept for 8 brain people, like me. I'm 8
no,
brain.
No, but, like, when I wanted to get you on, it was really specifically because I was watching that video you put out about Jake Paul, not the recent one. The one where you're talking about is Scam.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, and it was just like, you understand what you're talking about when it comes to, like, editing and film, and so I just wanted to, you know, really feel it out. I know we have a similar, like, background.
We have,
you know,
strangely similar, like, interests and background and the whole thing, including what we went to uni for, what we switched to, and when we switched.
Well, you know, the only difference now is that you're not in uni now.
Yeah.
What was the decision of that? Why'd you do that?
I deferred because...
I don't know what that means.
It means that I said to the university, no thanks, I'll be back in 6 months.
And you just... Was that because of the pandemic or...?
They actually called me and was like, hey, is this because of the pandemic? And I was like, no. If I say no, will you let me leave? Because I didn't want them to be like, actually, we won't accept any reasoning. So I just said, no, my workload's increasing, which is technically true. Because I just work more. So that's why I left.
So you just left to just focus on YouTube? Literally, I think I'm the only person in... Like, all of the YouTubers I know that's still in university.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of people that...
I mean, for what it's worth, I mean, you did go, and, I mean, it shows that you did learn stuff from there.
Oh, yeah.
I think when I was thinking of having you on the podcast, you were still in school.
Oh, yeah.
So I wanted to talk about that. But now you can talk all the shit you want about school, so go right ahead.
I mean, I thought... It's just like a... Because the uni currently that I go to, some units can only be done in certain semesters, and certain units can't be done online, but they won't tell us which ones, so I just thought, fuck it, I'll do it later. What's the rush? So, but the stuff that I did learn at the school, not the online, when I was physically there in the good old days, was very useful. If you want to learn stuff, like, there's not a whole lot. You can learn pretty much anything online. And that's not. You would know that. I know that. I mean, I'm sure a decent portion of our knowledge comes from just physically working on projects. Like, I mean,
yeah, for sure. Like, a lot of my practical knowledge comes from, like, the channel. Like, I don't know what specifically your college was like, if it was more based around the technical aspects of filmmaking or, like, the theory, because I technically went to, or I still go to, a liberal arts college, so I have a lot of theory that I have to like sift through.
Although you're going to say something completely different when you said liberal arts college.
I mean, it is a very liberal campus, but
I went to a liberal college, that's... so I learned nothing. But then I...
there was this I think it's like a campus reporter or some kind of like webpage that just I almost ended up working for them when I used to do politics stuff. But they're basically this conservative outlet that reports on liberal professors being dickheads in the classroom.
Jeez.
And I had a tweet that went like mildly viral because I talked about my cinema like theory professor saying that the Marvel's like Avengers, all those movies are fascist propaganda.
Oh, hell yeah. Man.
But yeah, speaking of fascist propaganda, what did you do in the school that made you think big thonks, you know?
I think it was just the whole, like, connecting the dots would be a good way to put it. Because I knew of, I'm going back to that, the scam video, I referenced the Kuleshov effect quite heavily. And it is one of the better known foundations of editing. But I'd known about it for a very long time. It's a very common thing to learn. But then I went to school and they talked about it and explained it in a much more intricate like detail than I was expecting. And it kind of just, it's like, oh, everything here is related. Like there's a lot. It contextualizes everything and brings it more into like the physical world of editing and doing work and working with these people and on this thing and what happens and so on and so forth. Because I mean, before that, I was just like, I like my this. I slide into frame here. I like that. I'm gonna keep it. And I didn't really think much beyond that. And I'm also I'm a one man show. I don't think I've ever had another person edit stuff in my video, so I never had to question myself or like argue with someone because we have differing opinions.
Yeah, and then you also like when you edit it yourself, like I don't know if it's just me, but like I can tell when somebody doesn't edit their own videos, you know, because there's certain there's certain things that like when people edit, you can kind of pick up on certain like cues that are them. You know, like when I see you edit, like if I saw a video and you didn't edit it, I'd like to think that I'd, you know, have an eye enough that I'd be able to tell, oh, that's like something you didn't do, you know?
Yeah, there is a somewhat detachment sometimes with it. Like it seems like it's almost aware that it's not being edited by the person on camera, which is noticeable at times. I've never really found it to be an issue other than in very specific cases where I'm so fucking confused as to what's going on.
I think I'm... Okay, so this is a dumb thing to say, and I know it's a dumb opinion because, you know, I know people that don't edit their own videos. But I think that you feel when you don't edit your own videos, you become corporate slime.
Corporate slime.
But that might just be my liberal arts brain hard thinking. Into it.
Not even like a. Oh, I think it's disingenuous. It's like if you do it, you're a socialist.
No, it
or some shit.
It bothers me, dude. It bothers me a lot.
I've never found that much issue with it personally, but every time I think about it, I just can't talk about it that deeply because I don't understand it, in a sense. Maybe someone edits a video for me one day under some circumstance and I'm like, wow, this experience was really great and I understand it. But I really, for some fucking reason, I actually like editing my videos a lot. So it's probably my favorite part of it. So I haven't strayed away from that yet. And I just can't, I can't understand it. In a sense, Because I'm also not big enough to worry about that, am I? Like, I don't... It's not like, oh, yeah,
it's daily like you grind. Could get an editor now, you know? Like, you definitely make enough to be able to do that, I assume. I hope you're not, you know, jingling a can for coins.
I mean, you don't even have to pay editors. What are they going to do? Sue me? All right, boys. Hell yeah. Yeah, no, I definitely could. But I just haven't thought about it.
I mean, I feel like it's such a personal... I mean, at least for YouTubers, you know, it's... I always kind of talk about channels, and I've talked about it on my own channel, where I say, like, a YouTube channel is, like, an extension of this person. It's kind of like this long-form, like, media work of art, you know? So I feel like when you let somebody else kind of, like, paint a stroke in that giant painting, it kind of, like, it just veers in another direction, you know, where it's not, like... I mean, for me, the tone of my videos is really important to conveying, like, certain messages. You know, and you know, I see it in your videos too, where there are certain ones where you're more sarcastic, but you can also turn it around and be more serious, you know, but you get that timing because it's you understand you completely.
I understand,
but you don't know if an editor is going to be that way.
Explain what I meant in that scenario or what was going on. I just know what I was doing and what I meant. I think it's like a... I think it's like a balance, obviously. Everything's a balance. Yeah, no shit. But in a sense that, like, at some point, there's so much work that you can't remain a one-man crew. But you shouldn't just, like, immediately discount the whole idea of... you know, post-production work and all that. Like, when you get, like, several million subscribers and you're uploading every day or every second day and you're trying to keep your personality consistent and all that the same and keep the charm of your video, it's, like, somewhat worth it to lose that slightly personal touch in the editing if it saves you from... having to, like, not upload ever or just completely burn you out. But I always found it weird when, like, the entire... there's, like, a crew behind videos. Like, which... That was, like... I'm like, holy shit, this is, like, serious stuff. I can't even comprehend that.
I mean, I think if you're a YouTuber and you work with, like, one editor, that's... It you know, like, you can build that kind of personal relationship
with
it. Can do that.
That in many ways,
like,
I think the editor can even, like, either become part of the video experience, which can actually be better than the original editor or the creator, or can understand the creator so well that they just basically can mimic them and understand them perfectly. But it's a really hard relationship to get.
Yeah, it's really hard to... It's like, you could go... Like, I've done work with... Yeah, I've done, like, one or two videos where other people have edited them. And, like, they weren't bad. I think I did a video essay on Joji. And I had somebody else edit that, you know, because I didn't know After Effects at the time. So I let them do it, and, you know, I paid them. But it wasn't, like, what I would make, you know? Like, I look at it now, I'm like... I could do that, but I wouldn't do it like that. You know, it just does. It's not me. And it was really because I didn't have that relationship with the editor, you know, for that whole time of it. But Kappa, you know, we have this similar history. You also went to game design school as well.
I did.
Just like I did.
I was studying as a computer scientist with a specific interest in game design. Yes, which I think is extremely similar to yours.
Yeah, I was studying for production and management in games. So I'd be the guy that comes up with a plan on how we're going to sell loot boxes.
Yeah,
to 12-year-olds.
No, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
You're the person
that's exactly
everyone
what I
blames.
Yeah, yeah.
What a life.
And, you know, but you make the most money.
Yeah, you're the only one who makes money.
And I know we've had conversations about it in the past, But I'm just curious, like, what made you switch from that? Like, did you just fucking hate it, or was there a deeper reason?
Well, for one, my talents were not best suited there. And I don't mean, like, I was constrained. I was shackled to an industry that didn't understand me. I was shit at, like, pretty much everything I did. That's what I mean. It's not like I was some creative genius. This was a long time ago. So this is when my videos were horrible.
So, dude, you're saying it like it's a long time ago. We're talking about, like, what, 3 years less than that?
Yeah, it's my entire life, man. I think it was 2 years or something, 2.5, 3. Yeah, 2.5 to 3 years ago. No, I was just horrible at all of it. And I just... Some of the abstract concepts just confused me, and the literal concepts also confused me. And it was... When YouTube started being somewhat successful, meaning like 50 to 100,000 subscribers, it was like a question of, huh, I'm buying this camera, and I have this tripod, and I have this audio recorder, and I'm getting all this equipment, and I'm enjoying myself, and I'm successful, and I do it in my free time, but then I'm also studying to code. It seemed like such a massive disconnect when I could just cheat the system and make my job, like for realsies this time, and then I could just write off things that I wanted on my taxes. Which is, kids, don't follow your dreams because of the, you'll never work a day in your life. Follow your dreams because you can buy things that you want, and then you can write it off on your taxes. That's literally, that's what you do. That's how you gain the system. That's so true, though. It's so good. I mean, Adobe Suite's expensive. We would know. Using Audition. But if I write it off my taxes, it's less expensive. That's the real winner. Me.
That's true. That's true. I enjoy, like, I'm a total gearhead. Like, I know tons of, like, useless facts about cameras that most people never need to know, but I love it and I'm passionate about it, you know, and it overlaps with YouTube. So now I can just write off a new camera on my taxes.
Yeah.
And I do use it for business. Tax man who might or might not be listening to this.
Yeah, we're not lying.
Do potentially audit me. We're not, you know, we're not trying to evade taxes or anything. You know, that's not what's happening here.
We just happen to be evading taxes. What do you mean? By accident.
I enjoy knowing about, like, oh, what's the difference between a full frame and APS-C sensor and a Micro Four Thirds?
Oh yeah, I've been literally struggling with that.
Like,
got the
If you haven't, if you're like struggling with like mechanical concepts and cameras, this dude, his name's Gerald Undone.
Yes.
Seriously, his explanations of things, oh, you watch him, see?
Yeah, no, 100% I watch him. He's so analytical about everything.
I want to get him on this podcast at some point.
Oh, he's amazing.
Just, he is so incredibly intelligent, you know, like he has taught me. Like, you don't need to go to film school, kids. Just watch Gerald Undone. You'll know how it all works.
Yeah.
You know?
Ignore what we're doing. Listen to him.
We don't know. We don't know dick about cameras. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's actually a good point.
But, yeah, so I really was, like, doing the whole game production and management stuff. And I mean, I wasn't shit at it, you know? I'd like to think I was pretty good at managing teams. So, you know, you were a coder, and if I was managing you and you were doing a shit job, I'd be the one to wag the finger at you.
Yeah.
That's basically what I did in class too, you know, but what I liked about that is, I mean, I like being in charge, you know, but also there's just, you have like this kind of role in the creative pro. I mean, I can't lie. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, you know, and it's really funny because you're working with, I don't know how you experienced other computer science majors, but in my experience, they're all sweaty, don't know how to give handshakes,
oh,
and 100%. Smell like Funyuns.
They were all,
yeah, they,
horrible.
They stink.
And I'm sure if we had Funyuns in Australia, the whole studio would reek of it. No, it was, I mean, for one, the can't just pass. The gender disparity is pretty massive. Like, obviously, in every single facet of like computer science, where it was like, I think in my year, I guess, of something like 200 and something students, there was about, as far as I could tell, maybe 5 girls. Like, maybe. And even of those, like, like massive majority of men, they all were, like, the same, like, age and the same everything. It was weird. It was like talking to clones. It was difficult to separate them in my mind. It's just such a non-diverse field, and it's just
some horrible
people that just don't understand social norms.
Dude, the game industry, like, people talk about the movie industry, and it's true, right? Because I hear horror stories about, like, so being in New York, a lot of people move from here into television production and, like, working on talk shows. But in the game industry, the egos are even worse than anything you hear from, you know, oh, like, I worked for Bill O'Reilly and he was a dick. In the game industry, it's like a billion times worse, you know? And yeah, the gender disparity is there. And the men simp so hard. Oh my God.
It is.
I don't know what you saw, but oof,
no,
I got stories for 100%. Years.
All the, it was amazing seeing, because you would expect those type of people to be the minority, but they were very noticeable. And all of the people that were like me, that were just like, I'm here to learn Pascal. We all left. We all went away. We didn't go near like, you know what I'm saying? Like, those types of people become what you expect of the industry. Because nobody else, the normal people, didn't want to deal with it. So we just like didn't go near them or talk to them. And it's really sad, because there were some really, really nice people in my class. There's a lot of people that were just there to get a degree. And like they'd already been coding for years. And they just didn't care. Like it's like, oh, whatever. I don't have to prove anything to anyone. Hey, you want some code, man? Here you go. Here's a finished project. I've written some lines here, let you know what's going on. And I'm like, thanks, man. And then next to me is some neckbeard that's playing on his Switch or something. And it was horrid.
Yeah, you go to game design school and you find out that most people just want to play games. They don't want to make them. They just want to play them.
Or they don't understand and that's what really makes frustrating. Games like... Like, they understand the very face value aspects of what a game is. And it's like everything beyond
that. They don't understand the work. Yeah, they don't understand the thousands of hours of work that goes into it. And like, over the course of my time there, I ended up doing esports management because it was much more like the esports players, they were nerds, right?
They were more normal.
They had goals. Because they wanted
they
to be the best.
They had personality traits.
So when I said, you gotta go to practice, they'd go, you know, they'd do things.
Holy
but
shit.
I tell, you know, I worked on a VR game. We were trying to basically make, so, you know, you play instruments with your hands, right? Now, you know what's a great idea?
Holy shit.
To play those with VR hands.
Holy shit. That's what's up.
And it was horrendous. We never finished it. If you were at PAX one year, you could have played it. But now nobody will play
it. The Lost Archives.
Yeah, I actually still have it. I still have the Unity project.
Holy shit.
So I could technically release it.
Hell yeah.
But I remember this one guy. He was an RA, so I don't know what they have or what they call them in you know, university in Australia, but it's basically the person who is in charge of the other people, you know, in like a dorm.
Hey, we don't have
but he
those.
Was an RA, not really. And he didn't know how to code at all, and he was supposed to code like health UI into the game. He spent 12 weeks telling me he's working on it. I'm like, dude, just steal it from the internet.
Please. Everything's open source now. Just take it. I'm begging you. Oh, but dude, the whole industry is just... Every industry has so many problems. It's just...
I mean, so you get weirdos when you go into, like, the art industry. I mean, like, I don't really have weirdos at my film school, but that might just be because I haven't met them yet. Actually, I do have one.
Yeah.
But I'm going to let you go first, and you explain what the people are like there.
It's like, I will say, since I've started doing film, like, production stuff, everything is significantly better. Like, there's some strange things about it, but for the most part, everyone that's there is either doing it as, like a secondary subject, so they're chill, and they don't care, or is actually passionate about film to the point where they're not, like, weird. There's some pretentious stuff going on there, which is why I struggle so hard to stray away from being pretentious in anything I, or trying to be pretentious in anything I say when I talk about film. But they're like a vast minority, and for the most part, everyone's fine. And I was so scared that when I had this thought late at night when I swapped to computer science to film, and I just woke up and I just thought, what if everyone's like this? You know, like what if it's all the same? What if every industry is just that forever? But it wasn't, and I escaped a bottomless pit of hell. And I enjoy my class. It's much better. Game design can fuck off. It's terrible.
I mean, I guess I have kind of like an opposite emotion to you. I mean, you know, it's good that it's better, you know. And it might be because I go to such a big college now. But when I was at, I almost said the name of it, when I was at my old college, I could fit in a lot better, but that might be because I'm a huge nerd, you know, but I was like a cool nerd. Like I was a nerd that like would be on YouTube to begin with,
yeah,
you know,
that has deodorant at some point. In
yeah.
Their life.
It has deodorant. Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. So I liked that. And that might just be me with, like, a inflated ego, you know, because if you're in a room filled with a bunch of idiots or, like, weird neckbeards, you're like, I'm the best.
I'm the best one of them here.
But I when I switched to film school, okay, well, here's what I expected when I went to film school, right? I pictured a bunch of people that with the emotions of David Lynch, right, all smoking and wearing beret hat, yeah, like
and
hats,
not explaining, you know, their work.
You know, with like the turtlenecks, and for some reason they're in black and white.
Yeah, somehow. The rest of the campus, that's color, but they're
like,
black and white.
Parasite?
It was alright, I guess.
It was alright, I guess.
Could have done
doesn't
more for
beat
the social
this
commentary.
French movie I saw.
Oh, fucking.
Omelette du fromage.
Band
you know?
Apart from 1940 or whatever the fuck it was from.
And it turns out that not only was nobody like that, my school is big on sports, so literally everybody in a film major is like, I want to work for ESPN. It's like, you want to work for ESPN? You're lame, dude. Like, come on. But now I'm starting to see the people that smoke the cigarettes and be in black and white. There's a couple of those.
Face paint and everything.
For the most part, everybody's like, I don't want to sound... Oh my god, I'm sounding like such a horrible person. But... Everybody
we're both
at
sounding
the college,
fucking horrible. We've spent this entire
no,
podcast
you know what?
Shit talking.
You know what?
A bunch of
people like, I mean, on one hand,
they deserve it.
I like knowing like why YouTubers left school or like why they stayed and what made them stay and what did they do. Like there's YouTubers that know a lot, but they do YouTube videos instead of being a doctor, you know?
Yeah.
You know, like, what brings them away from that? Like, why do they not want to do that anymore, you know? Like, that's what I find interesting.
Yeah, when people no longer have an obligation or reason to stay at uni, a lot of them choose to leave. And it's kind of like, sometimes it's like, oh, I just didn't need it and it wasn't that fun. And then other times it's like, yeah, my uni has like a 1% graduation rate. And it's like, oh my God, what the what's going on with you, man? Are you all right?
No, yeah, there's a lot of stuff like that, especially when you talk to YouTubers. I mean, like, personally, I enjoy the education process because I think it makes me, like, I think me being academic is good for my channel.
Yeah,
same. You know, because it allows me to talk about higher concept things and convey really big ideas to people who wouldn't be exposed to them otherwise. You know, but I think when people listen to YouTubers be like, ah, well, fuck college, right? And I know we're both in agreement, you know.
Yeah,
fuck,
no, fuck school, that's the thing. We're like, fuck college, you know? But maybe not. That's basically the whole
thing of this podcast. I wouldn't have been exposed to things like, so like, I really enjoy philosophy, you know? And a lot of people are like, oh, I consider myself a nihilist. It's like, well, have you read Nietzsche? Because I highly doubt you have, you know? Like, there's a lot of people who are like, for example, Marxist film theory is like really big in like academia. But, you know, unless you go and you read the books to understand it, and you know, you don't even get this in class, like a lot of it's self-motivated learning, you know, but then you can have conversations that you wouldn't be able to have otherwise, you know, or be able to talk about things you wouldn't be able to. But that's not a good reason to go into debt.
Yeah, college, no.
By the way.
Oh,
let me just say, it's not worth it.
I think we should say that one part where we do differ is the fact that I am not saddled with an extreme amount of debt. I just have a lot of debt. Because I'm not in America, I'm in Australia. Well, we have...
So, how does that work for you exactly? Because I have to take out loans. Like,
yeah, you take out loans
I
from
have
private 120
grand. So there's a couple of ways, right? There's like subsidized loans from the government, which I don't get because my family makes like $1,000 more than the requirement
for
basically like free college.
For that?
You have to meet income requirements, so you have to make under this amount of money a year, you know?
That's horrible.
And my, like, you know, like, my family's poor, but we're not so poor that
not poor enough.
We can't, you know, have the money. Yeah, we're not poor enough. You know, if my, like, if one of my parents stopped working, then yeah, but that's not feasible because then we couldn't own a house, you know? But there's loans from the government, and then there's grants and, like, different things you can get from organizations who will give you free money to go to college. So that's what I've done for a lot of it. But I had like a really bad depressive slump and I lost those scholarships. And
oh man,
my bill like tripled.
Yeah, we don't
like it was bad.
We don't have that specifically. We have scholarships. As far as I'm aware, I've never been smart enough to have one. But we have, for the most part, what as far as I can discern from anyone else, is just like HECS debt, like HECS, and government subsidized payments, and also our things are a lot cheaper here, so it's a lot cheaper to go to university, and you don't like the interest is lower, and it's extremely easy to get HECS debt payments. You can defer payments not just for like courses but even like amenities, so you can, if you have no money, you can reasonably go to university. So right now, like, the courses that I'm in cost like a few thousand dollars. It varies per subject, but for the one I'm in right now, it's like $2,000 to $3,000 basically. So $5,000 to $6,000 for a semester, I think. I can't quite remember.
That's so low compared to my
school.
Yeah,
that's the thing. It's just like unbelievably. And it's still like a lot of money. Like, if several thousand dollars for someone just out of school is a lot of money, but it's a hell of a lot less than America. So my experience may be different because of the fact that I don't necessarily have to worry about, you know, dying in poverty because I dared to get an education.
Yeah, I think if I like, if I wasn't in so much debt, I would have dropped out already. But then on the other hand, I wouldn't have learned those things that I really enjoy now. Like, you know, like there's so much like useless garbage that I enjoy. Like, I love Western civilization history, like the ancient shit. And I really like reading about theology, and I wouldn't know about that. But
yeah, I found a lot.
It's about 120 strange grand.
Yeah, so. Was it worth it? Who knows?
Well, the thing is, my college, I would have graduated with $68,000 in debt if I had stayed in game design school. But I switched to film school, right? Because I'm like, hey, I want to do this because I enjoy it, you know? And then that is where, yeah, that's where all the debt came from switching schools, because it put me back a year. But, I mean, in general, like, a college degree is completely overvalued in the States.
Yeah.
You know? We don't need this many people working with, like, with master's degrees. Yeah, just in higher education at all. Like, it's massively overvalued. And for the most part, you know, a lot of these colleges just operate like a fucking hedge fund, you know? Like, people pour money into them, invest money, and they get money back.
It's ridiculous.
You know, like, they're just trading stocks. It's ridiculous.
Oh, my God, my
old
back
college
to stocks.
Always joked.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, my God, yeah, we were talking about stocks before this.
Just before we started.
No, dude, but it's a good time to get into stocks.
It is.
It really
all
is.
The hedge funds are down. They'll come back in 3 years. It'll be fine.
Dude, we're like Wall Street Bets idiots.
Yeah. Guys, please invest $10,000 into American Airlines. I beg of you.
Seriously, we could, like, okay, I don't have a lot of money, right? But I could buy American Airlines for $13. That's a steal.
It is. Literally.
Yeah. This pandemic is the best time to invest in the stocks.
I mean, dude, first you pay for their recovery from stocks, and then secondly, you pay for their recovery with your taxes. Oh boy. I can't wait.
Dude, you think 2020 is interesting now. Wait for the season finale. Yes. Oh boy.
All the planes will suddenly go back into the air, and then all immediately crash. That's how 2010 ends. As soon as everything's over. But hey, our debt would be.
I keep trying to make predictions on what's going to happen.
Oh, I mean, this whole thing is horrible.
Just trying to make crazy like predictions. But who knows? Honestly, at this rate,
it's kind of crazy how the film industry kind of just stopped for like a long time. It was. I would have thought that would be like the. That's where all the pretentious people would be. Where it's like, no, it's my art house cinema, where I must have it filmed exactly today, the way I want, because of the eclipse is whatever the fuck, like, you know, super specific pretentious people. But the whole thing just kind of shut down for a while.
See, they shut down the film industry because the celebrities kept singing songs on Instagram Live.
Yeah, the public backlash just ruined them. Also, no films being released? Crazy.
It's weird because I'm doing very production-heavy classes now, and I have to get, like... So I walk into my production class, and they scan me with the thermometer to make sure I don't have a fever.
Wait, you still have to wear a mask.
Yeah, so here's what happens, right? There's, like the rooms are cut, in, like, pretty much in half. Like, there's half the amount of people in a class, which is great, you know, because you get more time. But they also cut down in-class person time, you know? So I have a lot of Zoom lectures, which is really awful because I can just pretend to be there.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I do still go in, like, physically. I can't not go in for lighting and cinematography.
That's horrible.
How the hell am I going to do cinematography from my room? I mean, I can, you know, because I know, but most of these people don't even understand the basics of
how to frame up
a camera or use...
What's
yeah,
a
like,
fill light?
What is manual mode? why does my frame rate have to be double?
That's so...
Whatever the or the shutter speed is or whatever, other way around. But
nice.
Yeah, I was kind of right there.
I was kind of right. That's what you want to be in film production, kind of right.
Yeah, we only have to, you know, record it again. Hopefully we're not on, you know, 35mm film.
No, what do you mean? 70mm is really cheap. It's fine. Let's just go back to one, guys. Come on.
But so Is it weird that I'm actually like taking physical classes like in person?
Oh yeah, dude. Victoria, no in person at all.
Wow.
You can't leave the house for anything really. Like you can leave for education, but my university was back in first semester. Immediately as soon as it was like state of lockdown, they just shut down all classes. Everything was shut down. And it was anything that could mm-hmm. be done online was done, and anything that was slightly less feasible to do in person, like units that had a more face-to-face time than the rest, like it was required, they just stopped. Like everything was stopped. At least for me, at least. I think every other uni has similar things, but I can't think of anyone currently going to uni in Victoria that has to go in to class. Like, at all.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, at first, like, I was kind of nervous about going to in-person classes, you know? I mean, I still am. I carry, like, hand sanitizer with me everywhere. I'm cleaning myself all the time. I carry a gun.
I've got concealed carry. Gonna blast these gyms out of the air.
I always love it when people who aren't from America talk about guns.
You have such a weird fascination with the things.
I mean, like, you know, I've been shooting guns since I was just, like, in my teens, you know? But, like, as long as you're not pointing it at anybody, it's not much of a problem.
It's so weird. You're the only country that does this. Oh, see, that and, like, Namibia or something.
The thing is like, so my girlfriend's, like, friend is like, I'd much rather be stabbed than shot, you know? And it's like, anybody who's shot a gun knows why that's really stupid to say. So, like, you get shot in the head, everything goes black instantly. Maybe you have, like, pain for, like, a second, but you die, right? If I stab you, I can stab you, like, 50, 70 times before you die, you know?
I'd like to be stabbed it's like, rather than shot.
You see,
be close to the homies one more time.
Everybody who's not from America is like, it's rather like, it's people who haven't been exposed to guns are like,
I held a gun before.
I'd much rather be stabbed.
It's horrible.
You've held a gun before?
Yeah, I've held a few guns and they're all horrible. But no, if you get stabbed, then you get to like pull them in and just be like, hey man, what's up? Just give him a tight little hug.
I think if we move to swords, it would make it a lot more interesting. But
claymores only.
You know, but it's just one of those things where I think it's like, I don't know, like the news plays it up every time there's like a shooting, and so foreigners watch it and go, damn, they're like cowboys in the streets shooting each other left and right.
You totally are. 100% are. America is just, I mean, we don't even hear the word guns in Australia. Like, at all.
Well, you guys can get guns for hunting out there, I'd imagine. You got, you know.
Yeah, it's
the giant steakhouse out back.
It's like a 50-50 chance. It's like a fucking Winchester rifle from before Winchester was a thing. It's got a 50 chance to blow your head off.
And that's a majority of the guns that, like, I'll see, you know. And that might just be where I am. You know, like, my girlfriend is, like, deeper in the city. So
Well,
like, when you live in the hood,
there's
gunshots that go off. Yeah, like, that'll happen.
Yeah, it doesn't happen.
But
we just have, like, really shitty trains, and, like, that's it. Like, that's the sign of the
thing is, if you tried, most of those people that have the guns in the hood are all felons, so they didn't get them legally. If they're shooting people there, they probably have a record to begin with. You know, because there's a lot of crime. And it keeps happening. And most of those guns, they'll collect them. Like, you'll see, like, you know, like, in like, the news. There's this app called Citizen. If you're in a city, you basically get all the information of every single horrible thing that's happening.
Oh, excellent. Local news.
Yeah, you'll be terrified all the time. No, and it's reported on by local people. So keep people safe, you know? But, like, I could go on Citizen's website right now and just see all the awful, horrendous shit that's happening in different parts of the city. I mean, most of it's not gunshots. I will say that. Gunshots are at least, they're rare. They don't happen all the time, but they do happen some of the time. But it's stuff like domestic assault.
Oh, or, excellent.
Like a car overturned or like car crash on Fifth Ave. You know, and then it's like some guy recording a video like, yo, dude, I think they're dead. And you can see this video of this guy just talking about this fucking car accident from his apartment window, you know?
It's an overturned car, like, it's just like, warning, warning. Everyone in downtown area, Donkey Kong is rampaging through the streets, knocking over cars.
I mean, that's pretty much what happens. You get a notification saying, oh, there was this near you.
Oh, yeah, Amber Alerts and all that.
Well, this is like one you sign up for, so you get extra alerts.
Yeah, we don't have Amber Alerts either. Nobody cares.
Okay, well, Amber Alert is for missing children, okay? Yeah, you're telling the children don't go missing in Australia?
Children just either die or just we find them. That's pretty much it. The two outcomes.
That's not any better. I don't know how that's better.
I mean, they're more likely to die from the wildlife than guns.
Look, if you have a kid that gets kidnapped and you're not getting them back, you're gonna hope it was a gun that got rid of them, okay? Like,
what if they just like went to sleep and didn't wake up?
That's called being dead.
They had an aneurysm while they were asleep at the age of 8. What were we talking about? How do we get here?
I don't
here?
Even know. Oh, no. I was talking about going into in-person class.
Oh, yeah.
And you thought I was going to say that I'm packing heat every time I walk into the room.
Dude, protect yourself from the virus. Dude, people actually do that.
I personally want a concealed carry license because I don't trust other people, right? I look on the news and, like, literally fucking, like, the craziest shit is happening. How could I not get a gun?
Oh, you seen the gun holsters in the on the face mask?
These gun holsters on face mask.
Yeah, so like on the right cheek, there's like a holster, and people put their guns in it. So it's the muzzle, it's facing down, and it's just like,
mm-hmm.
So like if I was, I don't know, a villain or something, I could walk up behind them and pull the gun out and then shoot them, because.
Why are you storing a gun in your face mask? How is that gonna fit?
Because guns are only half about protection. They're half about showing off. And let's be honest, I think people just want to show off.
You know, having a cool gun does help show off. I think part of my, when I do, you know, get my permit, I want a gun that looks cool.
How you put skull and crossbones on it?
It's gonna shoot the guy.
Get some flames, get some vinyls in there.
I write the names of everyone who I'm going to shoot on the bullet.
You're so egotistical, you write your own YouTube link on the gun. You write FPS Diesel because you got so much of an ego.
No, but seriously, you know, seriously, like, I would get one. I mean, yeah, partially, part of it is, yeah, because it's fun.
Guns are cool.
I've enjoyed it. Yeah, cool guns are cool, all right? But it's really because, like, you see all this crazy shit that's happening. What if one day it's me or, like, the other guy, you know?
I mean,
I'm in that situation. And it's an awful thing to think about.
Portland?
But look, if the government's going to fall apart any day now, I think I'd much rather have a Glock at my side.
Was it Portland or some city that just had, like, government death squads rolling around? Just picking people up? That was weird.
That's
still going or something. Weird. It's like,
dude, Portland, Oregon has just completely, it's like PvP zone.
Yeah, it's like the PvP fucking zone. Horde PvP zone. It's fucking ridiculous.
There's a what's his name on Twitter? I think he just got banned on Facebook. He is not a crazy person, let me just say that.
Yeah, I was gonna say
if he got banned on Facebook, it must mean he's bad, right?
I found some great source from Ian Miles Jung. Whatever the fuck his name
is. Yeah, this InfoWars Alex Jones guy really just has everything kind of, like, he understands everything.
Like, yeah, he's amazing.
No, he's kind of like a conflict reporter, this guy. Ford Fischer, might be pronouncing his name wrong. He's pretty, you know, he's just covering all of it, you know, where there's like, on one side he'll be like covering like Black Power protesters. I'm looking at it right now. It's like I honestly don't know what group this is. I've never heard of them before. The something concluded with their ceremonial pledge in a final Black Power chant, and it's like a bunch of armed African American fellows. And he, like, earlier he was like covering a bunch of white nationalist fellows who are also walking around with heat. So, you know, like, any day now, the PvP zone is going to be on.
Yeah,
no, world raid.
It's getting very strange. I love America.
Man.
But respectfully, fuck off. Don't come here. Keep your influence to yourself.
I think
I love you guys, but
like,
I don't want anything that's happening there to happen here. Thank you. Have a good day.
I like to like at least think I know a decent amount about Roman history, but you know, I look at Roman history and I look at this and I'm like, oh man, I'm gonna see something really interesting.
Yeah, something's
in my
about
lifetime.
To happen. Or like the
you know,
French Revolution, the wealth gap was slightly lower than what it is now in America. It's like, that's ominous.
That's ominous.
The thing is, people are kind of talking
I was
a
more,
lot about
I was more like, I don't think we're going to become a dictatorship, knock on wood. But I look at like what the Roman Republic was, and then Caesar came to power, and I'm like, huh, that's interesting.
There's a lot of events that are starting to get real familiar.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, I guess people would disagree. I've talked about stuff like that on my channel before. I try not to, like, because you talk about like America, or like you talk about it in a concept, or like the context of that, and then Americans just instantly go, no,
yeah,
no, it couldn't happen here, you know. And I'm not saying it is, and I'm not saying the big old DT president of the United States is gonna be the one to do that, or if it's some other nebulous party,
Donald Trump
that is
too
out there. The sequel,
but this time he runs
cyborg
for the Democrats, bringing both parties down at the
just,
same time.
He just completely changes everything he said.
Nice.
But shit, what was I saying? Fuck,
denialist.
Can't remember. No, yeah, people are like, oh, it couldn't happen here, and it's like, well, okay, I guess I won't talk about it because people don't. Most people don't understand politics in America, yet they have very strong opinions on it. And I spend a lot of time making sure I have very nuanced opinions and then not sharing them.
Hell
because
yeah.
Most people can't hold a conversation about it, you know? Like, especially on a college level, you think college kids would be very academic about it? Nope.
No, it's feelings.
Not at all. Not at all. So I usually try to stick, like, when I cover stuff that's, like, political, it's foreign affairs, at least on the channel, because then I could communicate the ideas that I would have communicated about America using
other,
like,
countries.
Yeah, through other countries.
Yeah.
And people will always agree. I've never, like, it's very rare that somebody's like, you know what, North Korea is a great place. Like, who the fuck's gonna listen to that guy? Like, come on.
Yeah, right, bootlicker.
Speaking of bootlickers, my guy, Yandev licks feet, and you seem to know a lot about him. Now, I don't know if he licks feet, but I know you know a lot about him.
Don't put it past the man. I believe in him. I have nothing but faith. I've found this somewhat like he's wormed his way into my heart in a way, because I cover him so much and like read so much about him and all that. It's just like he's endearing in a way, in like the worst possible meaning, and I just, everything he does I just adore. Like,
why do you find him endearing?
I don't know, it's just like he really just doesn't understand a single fucking thing that's going on. He's like a deer, like a little fawn, you know what I'm saying? That's like, it's like if you strapped a flamethrower to a deer. He's just running around burning down forests, and The deer can't comprehend what a flamethrower is. It doesn't even know where it is. If it's attached to it, doesn't understand. And it's just going around ruining everything. And I adore that. Because I'm pointing it out every single time. And it still keeps happening. It's also a nice feeling being proven right. Like, a lot. It doesn't happen very often. Because I don't make bold claims. But saying something in a video like 6 months ago and then having exactly what I said happen verbatim is a nice feeling. It's a level of power I shouldn't have, if I'm being honest. But you've made a video.
I mean, he's... You were in it.
Yeah, you made a big one. Why claiming that I'm the main authority this month. Here?
Okay, let's be real here. You know way more about Alex Mahan than I do.
I know a bit too.
Okay, you were telling me stuff I had no idea about.
Oh, it's crazy.
You know, he's a character.
Previous to, like, for context, previous to Diesel's video, we had a call where we talked about the whole. I would like to say the logistics of the video. We didn't. I had no idea what the fuck was going on. We just talked about Alex. It was a long conversation. It's nice bringing new people into the fold, in a sense. Because you just say something, and it's just like, are you lying to me? That doesn't make any sense. But it's true. And I mean, his whole demo for the game came out recently. I'm not sure when this...
Yeah, I heard. Up,
but it's recently... For him, recently is the last year. So as long as you meet that deadline, I think the reference will still make sense. And I've been playing it, like, a lot. Because there's actually something to fucking do. Crazy. And have you tried it? Are you willing to risk malware on your computer?
I mean, like, on one hand, I'm like, there's no way he could put malware in this. You know, like, he's not that insane. You know,
but at the same time,
he has people that are genuine fans that pay money, you know, and if he actually put like a virus on his fans' computers,
fans and gremlins.
Yeah, he would destroy any income that he's still bringing in, you know. So I've thought about giving it a try just to see what it is. And I'm actually surprised as YouTubers that make content about the game.
It's crazy. A lot of people,
incredible.
A lot of people like made videos about the game. Like, originally, like, back, like, they were the PewDiePie followers, so to speak. Like, after Markiplier and the game was, like, getting some views, they kind of, like, played it a bit, and then they just left, and then the demo finally comes up, and they come back, and they have no fucking idea what's going on, because the demo is just horrid. It's a horrible experience. Nobody should be surprised by this. I'm not pessimistic. I'm unbelievably nice, and by unbelievably I mean like it. I can't believe it's not butter. Like, I do try and see the nice things in it, but holy shit, the demo is horrid. And there's also the YouTubers that play the game a lot, like pretty much like exclusively, and it's difficult for them to make videos in a positive light. Because the game has so many bugs, they just kind of show up, like, a lot, like, for no reason. And I even got new hardware, and for my computer, and I just thought this would be a wonderful time to finally play some Yandere Simulator, the official demo. It's come out, all this culmination, and I got high-end shit. I have a 2080 Ti on loan to me, which is very nice. I bought a Ryzen 3900X or whatever. Overclocked that. I'm like really min-maxing the whole thing. I got an average of like 5 extra FPS, so I'm living it up. Holy shit.
Oh my god.
I went from average 62 to like 65 to 66 in most areas, which is that's crazy. I mean, that's just insane. I didn't think it was possible, but I mean, it does technically scale with hardware, so that's nice.
Okay, so you just need like a couple thousand dollars on a PC to get it to run, is what you're telling me.
but the new Nvidia cards are coming out soon, and I'm hoping that the card that there's a 3090 that's coming out that's three PCIe slots, and I'm really hoping that's enough to finally get it to run at 60 at all times. But maybe not.
You see, it's because it has ray tracing in it.
Yeah,
naturally, you know.
Yeah, automatically enabled ray tracing. That's why the performance is so bad. But
I had just seen these other creators making content, like they were just doing normal let's plays, like, oh, Osana's in, so I'm gonna try and get her to do this thing or do that thing, and it's just like, are you guys like ignoring what's happening?
It's kind of
like,
difficult.
How do you do that,
to ignore it? I saw one dude, I think his name was something X Kenshin, I can't quite remember, but he didn't touch the game for a very long time, came back to it, played it, and was kind of positive and was also kind of confused, and later commented on his video that he's like, I had no idea what the fuck was going on. What the holy shit. And for that kind of thing, it makes sense because he didn't talk about the game for like 2 years. But then there's the other ones that are just like, they know. Like, they have to know.
They know. They know.
Or, like, they know and they don't care, or they're just already locked into the content that they're making, and their fans don't want to see
anything
else.
I think they're locked into the fandom, you know, where they can't, like, escape it, because he's got a pretty big fandom for how awful he is.
Mm. For how close to committing
a war crime he is. A lot of people want his wiener. Yeah.
He's got a few fans, but hey, what can I say? Charles Manson had a few fans.
That's just a default.
Yeah.
Whenever we're talking about a crazy person, Charles Manson, you know, he had people do things.
He
for
was
him,
a lovely guy.
You know,
I think he's just poorly misunderstood.
His, you know, Charles Manson's ideas were pretty good when you think
they
about
were revolutionary.
It. I can't wait for somebody to take that out of context.
Yeah. I mean, you could just say he had unique ideas about society, and you could.
Yeah, Charles Manson. He was really a free thinker.
Yeah, he was. He was a free thinker. That was a nice one.
No, but he has like straight up like stands, right? Like,
oh,
from
yeah,
what you told me in our conversation,
he's got
like, he has some hardcore fans.
I'm not sure if I dare say the word, but he's got mad simps, like crazy amounts of simps. It's somewhat interesting in a way, because it does affirm the idea that some people are just cannot be reached under like normal circumstances, that you just can't convince them of anything. But it is interesting that, because you look at his videos and they get a lot of views, and his most recent, or one of his most recent ones I should say, is the Snap Mechanic video that got like 3 million, I want to say.
I'm gonna pull it up.
Let's have a little look. See, 3.5 million views. It was 5 months
ago. He uploaded 5 days ago. He's going to hit 1 million on that video.
Yeah. But strangely enough, that video is performing quite poorly for what it should have.
Compared, yeah.
It's not... Usually he can get to like 1 million views in like 1 or 2 days. 5 days for 700K is... it's not bad, but it's nowhere near what it should be for the average video. And it's not even the average video. It's like the Osana thing. That's like that's the big one. That's the, you know, it's the fucking main objective of the game. It's what's been teased and delayed and all that for like 4 years, 4 to 5 years now. It's the only thing people were waiting for. It's such a fucking meme. And it comes out and has got 700K views because the video got age restricted, because he refers to a thing. I'm not going to risk saying it here just in case, but he refers to a thing, 13 Reasons Why, let's just say that, in a very non-tactful way, because he's devoid of human emotion and empathy is beyond him. So that gets the video age restricted. So people either can't watch it or it just doesn't get recommended anymore. and then people play the demo, and both the subreddit that criticizes him and has free speech and the subreddit that is government endorsed, both have, like, the front page is just flooded with bugs and issues. So the whole thing has become exactly what I said it would be, but even worse. So you can imagine the like, holy shit, I'm riding a high right now. It's been 5 days and I'm still going. And I've just thoroughly enjoyed playing the game, and I think I might be one of the few people that does, because everything's horrible and the game keeps breaking on me. At one point I talked to Osana, I guess in the wrong way, and she stopped moving. And just didn't work anymore. The game just stopped letting me complete it, which I adore. Just how can you not love that?
I mean, in a way, it's endearing, you know? But on the other hand, he's also, like, batshit insane.
Oh, yeah, he's a fucking nutcase.
You know, you even saying that, like, oh, like, you know, it's not that bad. Like, just that, I could imagine it giving him so much validation.
No, yeah. No, I should say, he's absolutely horrible, in my opinion. As a person, as a creator, as a game developer, I think there is significant character flaws that cannot be ignored or explained in any sort of way. And there is so much wrong with him. It's genuinely hard for me to feel bad for such heavy criticism. But it's this, the kind of, the joy I get is only joy that I should feel, because I cover him as a creator. He's like, I need to write him as like a beneficiary for my financials, because he's given me so much money, so much clout and all this stuff. And it's like, I have this weird, we have this strange symbiotic relationship in a way where it's like, he does something morally repugnant and incredibly stupid, and I say he's an idiot, and then he turns around and says, nah, and then calls me a gremlin. And we just go back and forth for all eternity.
Yeah, he knows who you are, dude.
Oh, like, yeah, he knows who I am.
He knows right you.
Now. And it's, he fucking hates me. And oh, man. It's great. So when I say...
You do get a certain satisfaction from them knowing you, you know?
Oh, yeah, it's crazy. A lot of the times, it's like, if it's just like some dude. Like, I remember I made a video on Bobby Meisner a while ago, and somehow he found the video within the first 3 hours of it being made, which is insane. But he commented, and it was like, it didn't seem like hateful, mainly because I don't think the video I made was specifically like harsh, but I'm not sure. I couldn't quite remember it. And if I made it today, I'm certain I wouldn't have been anywhere near as mean. And there's like this weird, like, tongue-in-cheek kind of way that we as commentary and all that speak and all this stuff, and it's fine. And like, the other person, if the other person gets it, that's like great. But Yandere Dev is just like such a harsh extreme. I don't even have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about being nice. Why should I be nice? He said I was I forgot the term he used. But somebody emailed him questions on, like, hey, what do you think of these videos? And he referenced a few of us, including me, that made videos. And he responded in one fell swoop just by saying, like, it's... He used a specific term, and it was like, it's morally, repugnant or something like that. He was like, it's morally irresponsible to humiliate someone in front of millions of people online. And I just thought, that's amazing. I couldn't craft a better response if I tried. That's just, it's horrendous. And then the whole He's like, oh, that's so fucked up how you would humiliate me in front of millions of people, even though I have 200,000 subscribers and the millions of people were his fans. But then he also made the video on Osana where he pretty explicitly blamed his own volunteers for slowing down Osana's development, even though they work for free, which I would argue is humiliating people in front of millions of followers. So even when I don't explicitly reference something that he's done, he still proves me right. It's like I'm God, Diesel. I don't understand it. I can't comprehend it anymore. But there's something supernatural about my existence.
There is like this weird, like you said, there's a weird symbiotic relationship. You know, I like to think, you know, for most of the time now, I cover creators and like other people, you know, you're making fun of them in a tongue-in-cheek way because they did something a little stupid or a little ridiculous, you know, and sometimes they can take it, and other times they can't, and then you're like, oh, I know exactly what will get your goat if I just fucking insult you more, if I just do it more, and then you do, and they freak out.
It's just terrible.
You know, like with Onision, he gets so much like genuine criticism that doesn't bother him.
But when you just insult him.
What does bother him is when you say his dick is tiny.
His petty
and
insults.
You say, yeah, like he's bad and like ridiculous shit, you know. But that stuff bothers the shit out of people like him a lot.
It's,
you know, great. And it's the same thing for Yandev, you know, where he just can't handle anything. He assumes it's all the same, so you might as well just be really reductive
exactly
about
the
it.
Same.
Yeah,
right.
Like you don't need to be serious about it because he's gonna have a conniption fit either way, you know.
Oh, I just remembered something regarding criticism. Obviously, the bigger one is the fact that they're all teenagers, and all that stuff. He did say on the Yandere Simulator subreddit, unless I'm wrong, the official one. I could very well be incorrect. My brain is addled, and everything that he says blurs together. But I'm pretty sure he explicitly stated one of the characters, like, with his own words, voluntarily. This wasn't under duress or something. I wasn't holding him at gunpoint. He, like, explicitly stated that one of the characters was 17. Which is, like, cool. What? You said that they were 18, but now you're saying they're 17. Like, not even, like, implicitly. Like, he's not saying, oh, he's a teenager or whatever. Like, said, hey, Yandere Dev, what's the age of this character? And he said 17. Just straight up. What? How do you... Why does he care that much? You know? Like, man...
This is all a vanity project. It's a headcanon vanity project, you know? Like,
any way you look at it, it's either like... Something in this game is a fetish for him. I'm not sure which one specifically. I'm not sure if he's the self-insert as the love interest or he's the self-insert for one of the character's fictional love interests or, you know, like all this stuff. There's like so many weird ways you can look at it and all of them are terrible. And it's just... I love it. I love it. I adore him so much. I'm his biggest fan. Someone gifted me a sub to his stream before, like last month.
Oh my
and
god.
I was really I'm not a mean dude, but I was really fucking tempted. I was mad tempted just to show up with the fucking sub badge icon. Just sneak under and just black him and sub.
I've thought of like, you know, messing with him before because I've watched a couple of his streams and I'm like, this could be funny. But I just haven't because I'm just like, he's just like sitting there being like, ooh,
boring.
Zelda's ass is very tight or something, you know?
he's
not that boring.
I
he's
think
not
he's
that boring, but he's not like
boring.
He's not like top tier streamer material. He's like some guy. You know how there's like a billion like streamers?
Yeah, it doesn't
like,
feel like
a
he's a creator. It just feels like he's some fucking dude.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, like, on one hand, people might like that, but I look at that, and I'm just like, dude, man. Like, you could just be a creator, but instead you choose to, like just pretend bite the bullet to be like, I'm not finishing the game.
Yeah, you pretend to be a game developer with a creator as a side hustle. But it's just all...
It's just, like, it's clear he wants to do that, you know, but it's like he's dug his grave already, you know? Because he does seem to enjoy streaming, and I don't want to, like, say, oh, well, he can't. You know, because if it's a healthy outlet, sure, go ahead.
Everyone deserves a hobby, and I just
he's not fucking his doll.
I really like that his hobby is, like, we don't get to see that much of him as like a person, but I really enjoy the fact that he lets us into his life and shows us how fucking awful he is at Tekken, because I think that humanizes him in a way, and. Because I've watched a lot of his streams. Because every time I go onto Twitch to, like, fill the space or something, like, I've just finished, like, writing part of a script or doing some editing or whatever, it's about midday, right, of lunch. And every single time he's online streaming. Because he streams at 12 midday to 3 p.m. for me, which is, I don't know if you know this, perfect. It's perfect for me. It's, like, exactly the time that I have for break. So occasionally I just pop in and it's just him fucking around in a puzzle for like 2 hours, or just spamming the same moves over and over again. Like, damn, it's so good, man. Ah, I love it. And then people give him money.
I mean, like, whenever I've watched him, he's playing like single player games. So I haven't seen him play fighting games. I'd imagine he's bad. Oh, I can't imagine he's good at any of them.
Fucking awful. Is
because I was watching him. I got it just reminded me of like because I was watching him. I got recommended Lost Pause's stream. Are you familiar with my boy Lost Pause?
It sounds familiar, but
yeah, I did a video on him because I found out. So I was like talking with. Guy. Yeah, I was talking to my girlfriend about him, and she's like, I don't like how he talks about women on his channel, and, you know, he's, like, really creepy about it, and he, like, talks about hentai a lot, you know? So I went and I checked him out, and it was weird, dude.
Yeah.
You know, like, I get it, that, you know, some people like some fine doujins in their life. I'm not going to tell a man of culture that he can't enjoy his culture, but he was getting on, like, that stuff didn't bother me. You know, I understand if some people are personally turned off, but... I went to Twitter, and he does not shut the fuck up about his girlfriend.
I think if there's one thing that these people tell us, like Yandere Dev and all that, is that anime is a curse. You know? Maybe we should bully
something
people.
Something about anime just makes people really horny. Yeah. Like, Yandere's like, I'm gonna dress up my waifu as every single one of my waifus. It's like, okay.
Or like the way he just talks about his fictional characters that he's created, and it's just like, oh, I don't, you could just not be weird, you know? It's like entire, it's really easy. Just don't. Oh man, I love him so much.
It's just something I always like to joke. I'm like, look, I might make commentary videos, but you know, at least I'm not an anime YouTuber, because just the stuff that happens in that like community is bananas.
I don't know, yeah. There's like, out of every single one I've seen, there's like a few good ones, and then it's just like they do well for themselves, but their follower like count is just like a pittance of, because I didn't know that anime channel like would just, they're just fucking massive, they're huge. Some of them have like millions and millions of subscribers and get even more views than that, and the only ones that I've even watched videos from and that I like have like 50,000, maybe 100,000, 110 if you're feeling lucky.
There's a couple of them that'll do like video essays on anime and like, you know, talking about the themes and stuff and all that. And then there's ones that are like, okay, you know, I'm going to keep ragging on Lost Pause because he's seen my video and he is not a fan.
Yep, might as well double down, I see.
No, dude, it was like, He was talking about, like, his girlfriend's, like, thick thighs and shit, and it's like, I get it, you love her and you enjoy her and whatever, but it's like, you don't need to be so horny on main 24/7, dude. Main. Like, yeah, man. He's got a... Here's one. His Twitter's just filled with all these, like... They read, like, role plays. So he says, me. So when or if we get a husky, I want one that has white or blue eyes. Ashley, that's his girlfriend's name. Why? Me, because I'm going to name him Dragon, and we'll have a blue-eyes white dragon, Ashley. Oh my god, yes, please.
What the fuck?
And they all read, like, these weird, like, little roleplay moments. He's got, like, tons of, like, horny tweets, though, that if you just go back through his Twitter, it's just mega horny, like, all the time. I'm trying to find one now, but, you know, it's kind of hard to pull that up. Just go watch my video on it for the people listening.
Twitter is great. Twitter's amazing.
But he's got like 1.5 million and he like reviews anime memes and that's it.
That's it. Nice.
That's it. I mean, I don't want to be mean, but yeah, that's about it.
God. Twitter really gives us
anime just makes you horny.
Yeah. Twitter gives us the ability to, you know, you think a YouTuber's normal and then you just go on their Twitter and they're just mad horny all the time. I'm really glad.
No, but
John the Red Dev doesn't use Twitter.
Have you had that happen where you've like had a perception of a YouTuber and you go under Twitter and you're like, oh my god.
Oh, it's great. Sometimes they're like a lot more intelligent than I thought, and then other times it's just like, I want this person to step on me, and I'm like, ah, oh, crazy. Nice work, dude.
Oh my god. No, there is a lot of, like, I there's a lot of influencers who get on Twitter, and it's, like, one of two things. They're either, like I try not to be on Twitter, or I just try to tweet nonsense now, because I gotta, you know, keep my engagement up, but it's either, like, I'm really political, but only on Twitter, and then I make, like, I don't know, fucking Minecraft Let's Plays. It's like, where's the overlap in the audience, like, there?
Just absolutely... Nothing makes any sense.
Twitter's for being horny or being angry. That's about it.
You can be.
Shame Yandev doesn't tweet there.
Yeah. I would actually. Do I follow him? I don't think I do.
He might have you blocked.
No, he doesn't. He's too much of a coward.
it would give you too much satisfaction. Yeah. Really show the he power you have.
Play into
him.
My hand perfectly. Little does he know, I'm an old school Yu-Gi-Oh vet.
Are you planning on doing, like, you've been playing a game, are you planning on doing a video?
I don't do this for fun. I'm not insane. I've already, like...
Well, I don't know, maybe you were curious, like, you say you are obsessed with him.
Yeah, I am. God, I just, please, man, just please notice me. No, I have been playing it, and I have been writing a video. And it's difficult to express how horrible everything is with words. The curse of the modern era.
The curse of the modern era is some guy not wanting to write a script for his imaginary job.
It's not imaginary, it's just fake.
It's...
don't call it imaginary. It's really difficult to describe our jobs, isn't it?
Most people, like, most YouTubers lie.
Yeah, I lie.
I don't lie anymore. I don't care. I know what I am.
It started off as embarrassment, and then I just decided I don't have time for this anymore. Like, I'm busy. I got shit to do. I can't explain the intricacies of the algorithm to you. I've got to, like, eat and, like, sleep. I've got to spend, like, 3 hours explaining what YouTube recommended means to someone. It's just not worth it. I just say, like, I'm an editor or something.
Yeah, that's the one I always hear from other YouTubers. When I was in Colorado with Brandon, we were, like, sitting in the back of this Uber, and this old lady was driving us. And she was like, oh, what do you kiddies do for work? And Brandon was just like, we're editors. We're freelance editors.
All of us.
You know, editing things.
Not suspicious.
We get to work remotely. Yeah, he's like, you know, sometimes it gets lonely. So, you know, come over. He just completely fucking lied.
Yeah, no, just blatantly lie to people. It's like what you... It's one of the main skills of being a YouTuber is just lying. Like, a lot. It's...
No, I don't lie anymore, man. I don't know why we gotta lie about what we do.
Editors is just so much easier to explain, and it's not like... It's not technically wrong. Like, you can explain editing to someone, and you understand it, and they kind of get it, but they also know that they don't know enough to ask stupid questions, so they just... It's like a nice conversation of two normal adults. Instead of having to describe what an onion sun is to some fucking...
An onion sun.
Yeah. It's just...
See, now So, like, I'll walk into class, and you know, you go into first day of class, and you're like, hi, my name is Doug, and I like to review movies or something. My boy Doug Walker.
Doug Walker, yeah, I was literally just gonna say, did you just fucking... Out of the top of your head, just think of Doug Walker.
That was the only fake name I could think of, but, you know... I'd get in there and they're like, oh, why are you in film school? And I'd be like, look, I like making movies. I make YouTube videos. It's my job. I love doing
better it. Better than all of you.
I mean, there's a little bit of that there. I won't lie.
No, I feel that all the time. I won't lie because
a lot of them have no idea how to fucking, like, I don't want to sound like an ass, but, you know, I just sound like an ass. Whatever. Fuck it. But,
no, make fun of the people who are going to an education system who don't know what they're doing. Let's do it.
Yeah,
let's
just that's
dogpile them.
It's true. You gotta like, if you're getting into film school, you gotta already know how to make movies.
I do find it like strange how some people know a lot, like insane amounts, and then some people don't know what a camera is. Because it's like, what?
And yet they're there anyway.
Yeah, like what? I don't even care about, like, it's like, oh, I don't care if you're wasting my time. But what are you? How did you get here? You know? Like, what drove you to do a film study course if you don't know what a film is? Are you just that, like, free-spirited?
No, they expect school to spoon-feed it to them. They really do. And for the most part, it does. But if you want to work in, like, the professional field, oh, you got to work outside of class.
Oh, yeah, you got to... It's like coding. You just got to,
you got to actually... Give a shit.
You gotta code in your own free time and do your own projects. If you're doing film, you have to do all this extra work stuff.
All those great directors you love, you know, have been loving movies and doing things about movies since before they were college age.
Yeah.
You know? They didn't just magically get lucky either. You know, like, a lot of them worked really hard to become a director. That you gotta really travel up a chain to get to that position, you know? You don't just... Like, Christopher Nolan didn't just appear one day.
No, he totally did.
Like, that doesn't happen.
He just appeared out of nowhere, and his first words were just, IMAX. And that was it. That was the only thing he said.
And, you know, some guys, you know, they get to go to a prestigious school, but then there's those who didn't go to school at all. Like, the director Spike Lee. He just did The Five Bloods on Netflix, which, by the way, if you haven't watched it, you should watch it.
Spike Lee is so good.
It's really good. Yeah, I watched his directorial debut, Do the Right Thing.
Yeah,
that movie's a classic. Really,
just straight up.
Yeah, that movie's grown on me quite a bit. It's a classic.
God, I loved Old Boy. No, I'm just fucking with you.
It's my
favorite movie of his. Old Boy.
He's like, he's improved, right? Directorial, like. Director-wise, but he did that on his own. He didn't go to school, you know. But these people who, like, walk into school and they're like, "Teach me how to code." It's like, well, I think you might be in the wrong place for that. Then I was saying something before we got on this tangent. Shit, I wanted to go back to it. I can't remember now. Whatever. I guess it wasn't important.
I mean, we'd be going for like 1.5 hours. Going, how far do we have to go back?
How far do we... I don't know. I don't know. It's probably not important. I can't remember. It might have something to do with... the job. Here's the thing. Capo, you shouldn't be afraid to tell people that you are a YouTuber. That is what you are.
I mean, I was. And then I just was like, no, I'm proud of what I... Like, I'm successful. I earn money. I'm self-sufficient. But then people just ask too many questions and I get bored.
You know, I've kind of, like, I've said it to so many people now that I get like different responses now that I, like, you know, some people just don't give a shit at all. And I just don't know how to follow up with a follow up question in small talk. Or
so they stay in there really interested in it. Unable to do
it. No, I've had like
ending the conversation immediately.
No, if you're like a freshman in college and like, you know, I'm a senior, so or I guess a super senior, you know, but they come up to me and like if we're having a conversation about this and they'll be like, oh, it's like, oh, okay, what are you gonna say next? You know, you gotta
stand like, there.
They're like, well, you know, I work at Old Navy, and I'm like, oh, what do you do at Old Navy?
Oh, you sell jeans or something? Oh, sweet, what's on at Old Navy? Cool.
You put it, and I've said it to professors, and some of them really look down on it. And I don't like some those professors anyway, like, so why the fuck?
Yeah, it's some people just like, yeah. Ew, disgusting.
Yeah, like, thanks, yeah, man. Yeah, there's some that are like that. But I just like, I just much rather say what it is. Some of them take like actual genuine interest. Like I have professors that watch my content now, which is weird.
That's always interesting, is when people are, you find people that are trying to get like into understanding the medium, and they're just like, they're genuinely curious as to how it all works. Because a lot of people do see it as like an alternative to mainstream media now, which is what it's kind of turned out to be. But it's still somewhat difficult to understand. It's a bit nebulous for newcomers, especially older people.
Oh, especially, you know, but they seem to be the ones that are the most interested in learning. And I think like, you know, we have a, like, you'll have like a class where like everybody comes in and they're just like, I want to work for ESPN. I want to do this. Where like, they don't really know what they want. And then you have like another student who's like, this is what I do. This is what I want to be. This is who I am. And they're, I can tell that professors are like personally engaged by that most of the time, where they're like, oh, this person wants to get better at what they love. And it makes them motivated. And it just makes it like, you know, you got to build rapport with your professors. It just makes it better.
Yeah, you got to get, you got to become friends with them, basically.
Yeah.
I still talk to
and I'm not saying, you know,
computer science.
I'm like,
great guy,
mega motivated man, but you know, I'm doing better than the kid who doesn't know how to fucking turn on the camera.
I just need to reach ESPN. It's my character arc. Oh god.
Kappa, could you imagine working for ESPN though? Like,
oh, absolutely.
What would you want to do if you worked for ESPN? What would you even be?
I would want to be the technical lead in some kind of some tree, so that I could sabotage everything and just blame it on my delegates, I guess.
So just play a bunch of Sports Center transitions, but just press the transition button while they're live.
Rig everything up, just to horribly transition to the wrong scene at the wrong time. God, I just. Spreading chaos.
No, but most of
them,
most of the guys that want to do that, you know, they want to be the fucking host.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen.
Yeah, it's not gonna happen.
The hosts at ESPN stay there until they die. They're like horse racing people. They, like, you know, the people that call horse races. I don't know what their actual name is called, but they're basically like them, where you get into the job when you're about 24 after spending the last 10 years of your life dedicated to it. And then you stay there until you're 95 and then you die. That's like ESPN workers. Like, that. Is John Madden still alive?
I don't know if John Madden's still alive.
He is. Yeah.
All I remember, like, all I know is like the Sports Center like caster guys. I know that like that black dude who does the basketball.
Yeah,
he's in a lot of memes. He's in a lot of memes, and then there's that old dude who's also with him. I don't know what they do, but I see them all the time when we're talking about basketball. Like, so I assume they're like analysts, and they run like a show where they talk about like basketball drama, which is really funny, by the way, because it's just complete nonsense.
This makes no sense. It's completely pointless.
I mean, I assume it matters to the people who are really interested in the sport, but I just do not care. like at all. But I you know, if these guys care and they want to be hosts, they should not be in film school. Probably, I think they might do better if they do something else.
No, I want to be the ESPN guy.
They're gonna learn all these useless skills.
I want to be him.
I want to be ESPN man.
I want to be the ESPN man. When you turn on ESPN, I'm gonna be there, and they're gonna be like crazy.
See, I could never, Kappa, I love you, but I could never see you working related to sports.
No, I hate sports. I think it's fucking awful.
See, at least you know they're bad.
I'm like offended by sports. I've got fragile bones. I can't participate, and I don't understand it. It's beyond me. It's too big brain. So I relegate myself to sitting in the. Fuck! I forgot what the meme was called. I'm sitting in like the loser corner, with all the weak, frail little boys. With all the big tough men get to go to work at ESPN and talk about basketball or something.
Look, no offense to the dudes who want to work at ESPN. Why do I keep saying no offense? Like I give a shit.
Yeah,
let's be real here. Straight up offense, dumb dudes.
Fuck you.
Straight up offense. They are not the brightest tools in the shed. They are not.
But hey,
they are not
well,
there. They are not all there.
Good work.
Yeah, I assume it pays well, you know, but. You can end up working as like a lighting technician in a job where you wanted to be the host, and now you're going to be a lighting technician till you die. That's what's going to happen. God. You know, you don't go to become a director
at the age of like 80. I hate doing it now.
You just can't do that job anymore at that age.
Oh my God.
I mean, a good lighting technician and a good grip. You know, those roles, you get paid well, you know, but I mean, for a lot of people, that's not really a sexy job, especially in like media. Like how many people are interested in Macalini clamps?
Oh, are you fucking kidding me? Holy shit. I'm down to clown with that kind of stuff. I think my dream job is just being completely behind the scenes. Just doing nothing but moving lights.
I don't think I'd ever want to be the director, but...
No, it's too much effort.
Everybody blames you and the Star Wars movie sucks.
Yeah.
But it is J.J. Abrams' fault, let me...
Dude, if you get called a shit director, just say, no, it was J.J. Abrams. He made it a Cloverfield movie. It was his fault. He's not even the
could
producer.
Could you imagine? People are like ragging you on you, and you go on Twitter and you're like,
it was J.J. Abrams.
You at J.J. Abrams. It's like, J.J. Abrams, how'd you fuck up my movie?
You at him. Oh, fuck. It's like such a bold claim. It's like, I didn't know Bad Robot produced this movie. Oh, did we miss something? Like, you just blatantly lie so aggressively. People just kind of accept it because it's like, why would he lie? That makes no sense. Like, you just blame random fucking people. Fucking corporate execs getting in the way.
But I mean, for, you know, I'm trying to think, like, you know, would I want to be a grip? Like, would I want to do one of those jobs that nobody cares about in the film industry?
You don't get blamed for anything.
Yeah, you don't get blamed for anything.
You don't see it like a news article.
You get a paycheck regardless.
Yeah, it's like you get to see a news article where it's just like, Mulan has been delayed until the 30th of September because one boom mic guy missed his cue. You don't see that.
Mulan has been delayed because the PA did not
because
deliver the
Jared,
donuts.
Our technical secondary, forgot to use the gaffer tape on the specific cord.
When you were in film school, did they have you fill like any set roles, or was it more like you guys were handling like just principal like photography stuff?
We did a mix. There was a few times where we had group stuff and we had to specifically settle into roles and leads and all that. And I always was the stuff where I didn't have to be on set. So sounds and editing. Kids, choose that one. Be an editor or a sound guy. It's much better. It's way
more fun.
Well,
if you're an editor, sometimes you have to go sit and, like, if you're like a big time movie editor,
if you're big time, everyone needs to be on set.
Like a studio. Yeah.
There's like a $100 million budget movie. Every single person needs to be there. The fucking producers need to be there. Like, at every single second. It's insane.
See, I thought you would say, like, I don't want to be on a set, I'd be the producer, because you could technically do that entire job without meeting a single person involved with the production.
I wouldn't want to do that, because if a movie sucks, you always get blamed, because it is, like, almost always your fault.
See, but it's the producer just kind of, like, manages everything. I think people mix up what an executive producer is and what a producer is. You know, they don't know the difference between the two.
It's not worth it.
But it's like...
It's not worth the hassle.
I mean, all you gotta do is, like, tell everybody in the Slack group to be there at 7 a.m., I guess. But, like, the
Discord
executive producer, he's the one that paid all the money, so...
The devil.
But a movie sucks. Yeah, the executive producer's probably the devil.
God.
What is it? Kathleen Kennedy was the executive producer for Star Wars, right? I think she was. She ruined those movies. It's her fault.
It was all her. There's several thousand people working on those movies, but it was her.
That would suck to be anybody who's like at the end of... That's why I make YouTube videos, not movies.
Yeah, one person production.
Yeah.
I don't have... There's only one person to blame, but I don't have to blame anyone.
See, and then when you get something wrong, you can say, what can I do, guys? I'm only one
He's only one man developing an entire game. Give him some slack. That's what we call a reference to ourselves.
Well, I am looking forward to the new Yondev video, and Kappa, I appreciate you coming on and being the first guest to explain it slowly. Yes, I bless you for your presence. No, but genuinely, I enjoyed this conversation quite a bit. I'm glad
it was fun.
You could be here. I appreciate it. Is there anything you'd like to plug? I mean, I assume most people here already know who you are, but...
Yeah, well...
You know, if not,
I hope
Yandere Dev
sees this. I hope he's a fan.
He's going to make an exposed video using this podcast.
God. Where he's just said, it's all fake, look. And he comes to a clip of me just saying, God, I'm such a massive fan of Yandere Dev. I love his work so much. That's the final message from me. I love
you. But yeah, where can people find you? What do you do? Where are you
YouTube
on the internet?
And the other things. Twitter, I guess, would be like the bigger
the
one.
The other things. Twitter?
I don't really use it. I don't use much of anything.
You don't use much of anything, to be honest.
I'm a recluse.
That's probably for the better, all things considered. All right, Kappa Kaiju on YouTube. Go follow him. He's a lovely fellow. Great content.
Check my
Very
Twitter
talented.
For when I get really horny on Main.
Check his Twitter for when he gets really horny.
Horny on Main.
And I don't know when this is up. I'm thinking in the morning. So, good morning. Have a good day.